It's a difficult name.
It is. This is an oral history interview with Lena Barbara Nofsier on the September 27, 1984. Ms. Nofsier was the director of the Library Extension Division, now called the Department for Libraries and Archives, from the years 1930 to 1945. Ms. Nofsier, if you will, I'd like for you to explain what was going on during those years and where you worked, the staffing, major accomplishments during your time.
Probably won't sound like that we did very much, but we were very busy. Much of our work was done with organizations such as the women's clubs. In fact, the women's clubs established the extension work. We also worked very closely with the library school at the University of Kentucky. For several years, we had a reading program for homemakers, and all of the material that we gave them was mimeographed. And I would give a talk about it, mentioning outstanding titles for children of different ages, as well as the homemaker. That was a very interesting and rewarding work for me. The very wonderful group of people to work with, and we did various projects for them. They wanted material for schoolwork for children to supply material that wasn't school, because I don't think any of the schools had a library. And of course, the public library was very sketchy in some places, no library service of any kind. So we had a great deal of work to do to interest people, because there were people who couldn't read, weren't interested in reading, and they required a great deal of pumping up. We had to find what their interests were and take books. And when they would see that there was material in that particular book, they were interested in looking at the pictures and asking questions about it. And then some of them learned with their children at school and learned to read. So it was very beginning work with the public. And we used various means of transportation. I bought an automobile so I could drive up the creek beds to some of the schools. And also I used that when the WPA was inaugurated. One time I drove up in the mountains, and the men were sitting around the stores, and when I drove up, they all began talking to each other. Then one man came over, and I got out of the car, and he said, "Who are you? And what are you doing here?" So I told him I came to help that library. And he said, "What library?" I said, "Well, I understand it's right here." And he said, "All right, let's go." So I had never been there before. So I asked him to lead the way, which he did very nicely. And we had told the girl we were coming that day, so they were ready and waiting for us. Then we asked this man to go down to the car and bring up some books, which he did. And I found out after he had gone that he was in Breathitt County that I was in that day. But he was a leading man in Breathitt County that killed people when they their their replies were not satisfactory. So he was going to let me up to the upstairs where the girls had the library. He wasn't letting me go until he found out that I was legitimate and supposed to go, and the girls, of course, welcomed me, and we talked about their program. And that, and after he left and I found out his characteristics, I said, well, will it be safe for me to go on? And they said, oh yes, they'll all be looking for you along the way, they'll be expecting you. That, of course, was a surprise. I had always heard about, these awful reports of what they did, you know. But I wasn't expecting to encounter that. Another interesting sidelight was the women along the roads sitting out and rocking. And they had their sunbonnets on. And one day I stopped and asked the woman who she was, would she like to see some of the books I had? And she said, well, yes. So I asked her if she would like to see one of the recipes. And, well, she never heard of anything like that. Yes, she looked at it. So I delivered the book. She was very much interested in the pictures. But she couldn't read. So I read some of the recipes to her, thought she might be interested in them. So she repeated them time and time and time again. So she was memorizing them so she could try them out. And she wanted to know if I was coming later, and I told her about when I thought I would be there. Well, she said, you bring me some more recipes. And I said, all right. I'll also bring you some books with pictures in. Oh, she'd like that. So I had these patrons along the way that I would stop and visit and show them our wares, you know. Hmm. Well, we had these reading clubs, we called them, throughout the state. People who had interest. We tried to interest them in more things than they knew about. And they liked music particularly. And they liked I have trouble finding my words. Verses and poems. And those especially that were rhythmic. So we always carried those. One time I was in the car going up a creek bed to Little College. This college wasn't denominational or state. It was started by a woman in the East who had heard about the Appalachians and how the people needed help. And she was really one of the first schools through that area. Of course, Berea had been established long before that. And it didn't, she did not try to give anything other than learning to read and write. And that was way up the creek bed. That's the only way you could get there. The students walked. And she became quite famous. People came from everywhere to see the school that she had built and her program, which was really very good, the kind of thing it was, and it was very well received.
Is this the Alice Lloyd College?
Yes.
Alice Lloyd.
Is it still in existence?
Functioning very well.
Oh, good.
You were speaking about driving around to these different places.
Mm-hmm.
Does this predate what we call now the bookmobile?
Yes.
Did you have any type of mobile units that you used besides your own car?
Well, that would be pack horse library came right in before I left.
Would you like to tell about that, when it occurred and how you got it started?
Well, of course, people through the mountains didn't have many cars. That was really coming in at that time. People who worked the coal mines had money to buy things that other people couldn't get. And one day, a man came up on a horse and wanted to know what this woman was doing. She said she was taking books to people in the mountains. And he said, well, what kind? So she showed him some of them. And he said, I'd like to have some. So she showed him several that she thought he might be interested in. And he took some and asked her when she was coming back. And she told him approximately when she thought she would be coming through there. So he took part of the horse's something on the horse's back and made a little something to hold them. And when she came back, he said he liked it, his neighbors liked it, and wanted him to bring some books to them. Could he? And she said, yeah, she wasn't expecting to give her any, but she could give him some. So he had a gunny sack and put the books in the gunny sack and attached the rope to the saddle. And that was the beginning of the...
Did you think of this idea? Who thought of this idea?
It was one of the women who lived near there who had gotten the books from the little library at a hall that they used for dancing and meetings.
Where was this? Do you remember?
No, I can't tell you exactly where it was now. I didn't have anything to do with it, really, except indirectly, having trained the woman that he met.
Hmm. And do you know her name?
No, I don't know her name.
I think during your time, too, the idea of regions was developed. Where was this done?
It was done at library school at the University of Chicago. We often went there for meetings and for training in something, especially that we knew. If you wanted more than just being introduced to it, they had summer schools, 3 weeks, 6 weeks, and then I believe it was on the quarter basis at that time. And I had gone to some of these preliminary meetings, and I felt that people should have the books near where they lived and where they could get them easily. So I said something to the director, and I wish I could think of his name, about it, and he said, well, we're contemplating that. That's new, and people are interested in it everywhere. And the next summer, he had a three-week school on regional libraries. And I went, before I went, I wrote to him and told him I would like to try working on a plan. So he told me what information I needed. So I tried to get the information, and I had these friends working in the tax part of the Capitol. And I told them I needed to know what I would need to build an estimate. And I read library materials about how much libraries in various places had to operate, and what was the basis for getting the funds. And one of the young women said, well, what is your main problem? And so I said, well, money. We don't have money to help them except buy books and send them to them. And she said, well, the only thing I would know would be their tax rate. So I asked if I could get it. And they said, well, we'll have to get permission because that is not ordinarily given to people. But I think I can get them for you, get it for you if I can justify taking the time and making the material available. So she gave me pages and pages of tax information, which I copied and took to the University of Chicago. And I wrote up the items, and it's not a wonderful thing, except it was something to work toward, and something that was practical, that they were taxed every year. So if some of that money could be allocated for libraries, I thought it would be a beginning. So the last week, of course, I worked. These things move slowly because you have other things you have to do too. And I had 3 days to finish my whole project. And I told the director that what I needed, I wasn't much of a typist, but what I needed was something that would speed in getting the material on paper. So he said, well, I can get a typewriter for you. And I said, well, I can hunt and pick, so if I have a typewriter, I think I can make it. He said, oh, you'll never make all this. And I said, well, I have to, because I have to go back at the end of this week. So he furnished the typewriter for me, and I got it done.
Were taxes for library services then started?
No, except in Louisville and Paducah, Maysville. I guess it's Maysville.
Yes.
Lexington, Covington, I don't know whether there were any more along the river in the northern part of the state. And then there were these little libraries that the women's clubs did all over. One of the things that I brought out in that was the fact that money would be needed from other sources, and of course I had state aid and federal aid in that. I haven't even looked at that for a long time, but I think it was based on 50 cents, 50 as a minimum to start.
When you were in Frankfurt, where were your offices and how big were your workspaces?
We had three. We were in the rear of the old Capitol. And there were three rooms. My office was about as big as that to the sofa. Then there were two large rooms. In one room was the traveling library. That was 50 books in a box that was sent to them by mail. And that room, of course, had desks and chairs and books and many, many shelves to the ceiling. And the second, the third room had books, and that was where we did club programs, and people came in and out because the public library was very small, and just women, club women, working in it at various times.
You mentioned the traveling library. What is that, and when did it start?
Well, that was started, I think, in the very beginning by Francis
Porter?
No, earlier than that. Porter. Francis Rawlings, R-A-W-L-I-N-G-S. And that was started by the women's clubs in the state. That was their project, and they started it. And she was a club member, a college trained, and I think had some library work, maybe 6 months, 3 months course.
Do you remember when? Was this an early part of your time working?
That was the early part of the beginning
of the
extension work.
So in the early 30s?
It's perhaps, it was probably earlier than that, maybe the 20s.
Okay.
I haven't looked at any of my material for so long, I've forgotten some.
We had one of those boxes at the department, and was the whole box shipped, or how was that handled?
The whole box was shipped with the books in, and was returned with the books in.
And what type of books were put in these boxes?
All kinds. Reference, some reference, mostly readable books. I came to Wilmore, Kentucky, from Ohio, to establish and work in the college library. And I had at that time just a course in library science. I don't think it was more than a 3 months course. When I was a freshman in Kent State School in Ohio. I think it's called the Kent State University now. And I needed some help too in the work of the college. So I found out about Miss Robson, and I wrote to her, and she came over. and she came several times the first year, and whenever I needed some help, I'd call her or write. And she always would help. She didn't always come, but she always gave me a great deal of help. And when she was considering retiring, she was looking for someone to replace her. And I did some college work, took some courses, and had gone to the University of Illinois Library School for my real training. She came over and saw what we had worked out there. It was, the library was on the third floor of the administration building when I got there. And when she came, we had built the library building and had the students between classes move all the papers and material from the third floor of the administration building to the new building, carrying them as many as they could carry. And they get the large books and put string around them, carry them. And she said she was going to retire and would I be interested? And I said, well, my interest has been college library work, and what you are doing is public. And traveling throughout the state, I don't know whether I would be capable of doing that. And she said, well, I didn't know until I did the work, and I've learned a great deal. And I would be glad to help you if you would try. Well, I said, I'll have to discuss that with the president. So I did. He wanted me to stay, but he also felt that if I was going into the library field, that that would be an opportunity for me. So I had trained some girls at school that were quite interested in the library and had helped a great deal. So I said, I think I would have to try it, because I have never done anything like that, and I don't know whether I could. And I certainly wouldn't want to try if I had no real ability to do that type of library work. So we compromised. We took these girls, college girls, who were dependable and interested, and they became acting librarian. And I went to the extension department for a year with the understanding that if I did not do as I should for that work to continue, and that I would be released with no, with the understanding that somebody else would be secured. And at the end of the year, I loved it very much. And it had made me grow so much that I was glad when the board asked me to stay. And I was there then for 15 years.
Who were some of your associates during that time? Do you recall some of the people you worked with?
Yes, Frances Watts was a local girl who typed and who had been trained by Miss Ralston to do the library, the traveling library, they were called. She was a good typist. She was interested, and she was invaluable to me. I told her many times I never could have gone on with it if she hadn't been such an able and interested person to work with. Then I had a secretary who did the typing and filing, and we always had one professional who, in addition to the head, to do the reference work and to work with the schools and anyone who came in.
Do you remember that professional's name?
Perma Rich was one. It was a girl from North Carolina, but I don't recall her surname right now, Mary. She had been a reference librarian and children's worker, and she went from the extension division to her home town in North Carolina, the last I had heard of her. Then we had Mary Elizabeth Earle. And when she left here, she went to Ohio. Down along the river in Ohio. I don't recall the name of the town now. And she worked with me in Lima and went to Akron and retired from the Akron Public Library just a few years ago. It was an interesting light that I learned from her later. She, there was a point in the extension library where they took all of the records and microfilmed them, I think. Anyhow, they were I'm sure they weren't typed. It was some mechanical process that they used and filed. And I don't know where that was filed. Miss Earle one time wanted to have access to her file. Being in Ohio, she was in a good system with an excellent retirement program. And they gave credit in the Ohio system to people who could produce a record of their previous employment. And she wrote and asked me if I remembered what I paid her. And I thought it was $125 a month, but I wasn't sure. And I wrote to Ms. Watts and asked her if she was still connected with it. And she said, well, we can't produce it. The powers that be got all of the records of all of them, every department. And I don't know what they did with them. So I wrote to Miss Earle and said, I can't tell you anything, but I know that you were getting $125 a month when you left us. And you were going to get a better salary in Ohio. Well, she found out that all this material had not been discarded, but had been kept somewhere, vault or somewhere. And she got her complete record was given the credit for it.
You mentioned something earlier about the regions, or regional idea. Mm-hmm. Was there actually a regional library or a regional system developed in Kentucky?
No. When I saw that there was very little opportunity to go on with it at that time, I felt I would have to leave and do some, or do library work somewhere else. And I had been at Asbury, and they had a theological department there. But to get accreditation for theology, they had to separate from college, and they needed to have books and make some estimate for, I shouldn't have said estimate. I hope you will redo these. but they were trying to build a library collection for the seminary. And the president had been on the staff of the college when I was over there. So he and the committee came to see me at Frankfurt to talk to me about coming over to help them. And I went. And was there almost 3 years. I didn't know theological books, so the staff had a meeting, and I said, well, I can't get books or work with these books because I know nothing about them. So they asked me how quickly I could learn what they would need and what to do with them. So they got all of the faculty together and wrote the names of all of the books that they thought they would need. So they asked me if I would be willing to go where I could get books. And I said, yes, you have to have your books. That's the first thing you have to have now. And they sent me to New York for a week. And I went from company to company with this list of books. And they packed the books and sent them to the library. It was in a grocery store building. And the accrediting board for the Electrical Library said if you have a certain number of books, magazines, and a trained librarian, we will check you for possible accreditation. Well, of course, when I was in New York, I got the names of a lot of other books and had books sent that would be needed, other than the list that the seminary professors had given me. And they gave me student help. And we worked on the libraries and the books as per category. And I found there was a theological seminary group had been organized. And I got in touch with them, the officers, and got a great deal of help from them. In the year and a half that I was there with the committee from the theological accreditation group thing, they didn't want to come. They said they just knew it was impossible that they would have reached their aim. Well, I asked them if we had to have all the work done, and the answer was that the books would be available for faculty and students. And not necessarily that they were completely so, but that they could be used. So I used a numerical group by ABCs according to subject matter and put stickers on them. We had a required number of books all on the shelves over there. Well, we moved into the basement of the administration building in the meantime. Number required. And they received their first accreditation based upon continuing the library being built up and new books and pamphlets, because at that time much material was in camp in paperback. The time came when we had to break up the way we were cataloging the books, and that we decided at that time which I had the Dewey classification. So I went to the library committee and I said, what you need now is to put the books in permanently with the library classification. At this time there is no theological classification. I would do Dewey at this time. And you need a cataloger. And they said, you're a librarian. I said, yes, but I am not a cataloger. And I'm not going to be responsible for putting in a system other than what you now have that makes the books available. And what you need is a really good cataloger. And you will not get one unless you hire him or her as a head, because they are that kind of people. And they are not going to go anywhere and do a box job, and you don't want a box job, you want a real job. So, as soon as you can replace me, I have an offer of going to Indiana to take over the library extension work there. Well, I didn't know how they'd go about it. So I said, well, I'll be glad to help you find someone. And I found a woman who was graduating from Illinois who came and was there until about 10 years old when she retired. And when she came and I went to Indiana and came back on Saturdays to help her. I said, well, I hear you have this set of books. There you have that set of books. Don't begin with this book, this book, this book. Do all of the groups that you have, all the encyclopedias and that kind of thing. And she said, why? And I said, well, you are being hired as cataloger. And if you are just going to go along doing few, it'll take you a long time. You won't have anything much to show for your work the first year. Well, I said, if you do all the duplicates and the large groups that take the same classification number, you'll have a wonderful showing. And she stayed all these years and was very happy there.
Something else that happened during your time was certification. Yes. Tell me about that.
Well, that was a hard thing to sell. And I didn't think it would be, because I had certification for teachers, and the college people had to meet certain requirements. So I began working on it, and we had to certify all the people that were in the libraries as head. And we had Mrs. An attorney from Louisville. I can think of her first name, but not her other name. Mrs. Anna, somebody. Who drew up the first draft of the certification bill. Maybe her name will come to me. And one of the girls who worked in the library from Lexington had a friend in the legislature whose husband was prevailed upon to help us with it. And we had to go to all the library boards and explain it and assure the librarians that they were going to be just as welcome there after the bill was passed and it became law, and that they could work as long as they and the board were satisfied with their work. Even Louisville wasn't too enthusiastic about it. And one year at KLA, Dr. Barrow was then Dr. John Barrow was then the librarian at Berea. And he was the only, I think I'm right, that he was the only PhD in the library in Kentucky at that time. His parents had been missionaries in China, and he had translated the Dewey Decimal System into Chinese. And he was our president. And at this OLA meeting, of course, one of the topics for discussion was the possible certification. And we had lined up enough votes, we thought, to get it passed. And we spend a lot of time on certification, Bill. And it was a very handsome and a wonderful lawyer from Louisville that went with the people from the library for this KLA meeting. And he talked a great deal about it before. And he got up and got the floor and began talking. And it sounded as if he had written a speech. And Dr. Barrow looked at me, and I sat in my seat and didn't say anything. And he was just getting really warmed up. And Dr. Barrow was just at his wit's end, didn't know what to do. So I finally stood and said, well, everybody was interested in the bill, and they should be. And he, as a member of the board of the Louisville Library, certainly was interested. But we had given a lot of time to it. And he had had the floor many times. And I would move that we continue and go on to some of the new business. And then if we had more time and people wanted to stay and were interested, we could stay as long as we wanted to. So somebody seconded my motion and he gave up the floor. And nobody wanted to stay when the meeting was over. All the work was terminated. And people went home about 2 hours after I went home. My telephone rang, and one of the staff members of the Louisville Public Library said, Lena, I've got something to tell you. And I knew, of course, it would be about the certification possibility. She said, you know what Mr. So-and-so said coming home in the automobile? And I said, no, what did he say? She said, he started chuckling, and then he said, that little girl sure set me down in a hurry, didn't she? And that was the byword with people who were interested in certification.
What year did that finally go into effect? Do you remember?
Oh, I don't remember.
You mentioned about legislative support. What governors do you remember were really supportive of the Library Extension Division?
I can't tell you that.
No. What about any special laws? Were there any special laws passed during your time that had to be passed by the General Assembly?
Yes. And this particular man did that for us. He was the husband of the member of the Spin, who was a member of I left out one step on the certification. There was, don't know whether there is now or not, at that time there was a special legislative, law. I know the laws, Kentucky laws, were to be revised and codified, and the special committee was secured of lawyers to do that recodification. And there was the chairman of that was a young man from, not from Kentucky. But I think he stayed. And he helped. And he helped Anna settle, S-E-T-T-L-E, the lawyer from New York, and saw that the legal base was in line with the codification of the Kentucky laws. And he stayed here for years and years. He loved it. I can't think of this young man's name, but his wife took the library training and did the library for horses at Kingland.
Looking back over your 15 years, what do you consider accomplishments that you're proud of?
Well, I think real interest began to be solidified in the state, that enough people wanted library service, that the time was right to go on. All these years was just trying to get people to think of library work as something that you always wanted in the state, and that the legislature should be interested and move in that direction. And at that time, I had a dream of libraries that would fill the different states. But I certainly had no inkling that I would ever live to see it as a fact. And I don't know now how many states have them, but I'm sure many of them have something of that nature. There are some women in Lexington whom I should mention. One girl had worked in the extension department. Carol I think I will have to write some of these things if I can remember what I did not tell you. Carol Redding. And she married. I'll have to send you that name. But she was doing the reference. She was doing the reference in extension. And I didn't think I'd ever forget this woman's name. Well, Carol was interested in printing and has done a number of books and married a man who was German, came over here and did some printing. I can send you her married name from my files at home.